he said, therefore, verse 3 says, therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, talking about Jesus, behold, of whom thou lovest is sick. You ever hear somebody say, if you love me, you will do this? It almost sounds like that's what she's saying. If you love me, you will do this. You get caught up in a relationship and you guys are fighting and everything. And he said, what if you love me, you would leave this or do that? You know, it almost sounds like that. But he says, behold, whom thou lovest is sick. And it says, when Jesus heard that, he said, now, we got to be paying attention. If we're not paying attention, guess what? We're going to miss these points of what Jesus is saying. And he says, when Jesus heard that, remember, this and that, it identifies. This and that. You ever got into an argument and says, well, that man did this to me, or that woman, it identifies. So he said this, he said, when Jesus heard that, it identifies what she said, whom Jesus loved is sick. You know, his sister saying this. He says, when Jesus heard that, and it begins to identify the sickness, he said, this sickness, and he identifies it back. That's why we gotta pay attention and hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. He said, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. That should have been the end of the story right there. It should have been the end of the story. And we should have went on. But because of an unbelieving heart, it wasn't. And Jesus was so compassionate. He was so compassionate. He was so understanding. He knew why he was sent here. It was to save man's life from the destructive ways. The most evils. What is the most evil stain upon the earth today? Does anybody know?
I would think hate.
Hate is pretty strong.
Unbelief.
Unbelief, because the Word of God says you have an evil heart of unbelief. Mm. An evil heart of unbelief. If you have unbelief, you cannot enter into God's rest. Mm-hmm. We need to rest from our labors. God rests from his labors. Jesus rested from his labors. All the patriarchs rested from their labors. Then we need to rest. And how are we going to rest? If that we believe what Jesus had said. Thus saith the Lord. Remember when Satan was tempting Jesus, you know, he knew that he was hungry. He said, turn these stones into bread. Jesus could have done it. But you cannot turn the law into something that's going to fulfill you, into a good meal. What the law does, it convicts you, it sentences you, and it puts you to death. That's what the law does. That's what the law was there to do. But Jesus already knew. He said, you shall not live on bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Meaning he wants to do something in you that everybody can see and know that the glory is on you. And they say, hey, you serve a true God. That this is what he's meaning here. Unbelief gets in a lot of times in a lot of people that they don't believe you. That's why I go back to the fish story about catching a big fish and it gets away. But you know you caught that big fish. It says, now Jesus left Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And I looked at this and I said, Lord, why did you put all these people in here? Why is it written in here? Do you know that Jesus don't leave anybody out? Amen. He don't leave anybody out. We feel left out, but Jesus has not left anybody out. It's written here. Now Jesus loved Martha, his sister, and Lazarus. It says, when he heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place. In the same place. And he says, then after that, and you like to hear that thunder out there. Then after that, he said he to his disciples, let us go into Jerusalem again. There's your word again. Remember, he just came from Jerusalem. Remember when he had ministered unto them and he told them that him and his father was one. You remember that in the previous chapter, he said, me and my father are one. And the Jewish people had picked up the stones and were going to stone Jesus. And Jesus said, for what miracle are you going to stone me for? For what works are you going to stone me for? And he said, not for the works, but for you making yourself equal with God. And he said, let's go back. He said, let's go back. Imagine trying to go back into danger. But that's what Jesus did. He went back to where they wanted to kill him. Because he said, we got to go back. He don't leave anybody out. We ourselves, we might leave somebody out. But Jesus didn't leave anybody out. He said, let us go into Jerusalem again. And the disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and thou goest there again? And they couldn't believe it. Now, nobody doesn't want to go back into danger, but Jesus did. This is what he said. He said, and Jesus answered, he says, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in night, he stumbleth, because there is no light, and catch this, in him. So even when the Jews wanted to stone Jesus, he knew that they were stumbling, because he doesn't want to have death or murder in your being. He wants you to have light, because the Word of God tells us that the life and death are in the power of the tongue. Yes. So if they wanted to kill Jesus, they were still walking in darkness and they were still walking in death. So Jesus wanted to go back. And that's why he said, are there not 12 hours in a day? He was trying to make him understand from the natural to the spiritual. Are there not 12 hours in a day? Remember, I think it's found in Psalms 139. He said, night and day is no difference in God's sight. Mm. There's no difference. It's difference to us, but it's no difference to God. And he said, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in a day, he stumble not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Wow, that is compassion. That is love. But yet, on the other hand, he still got to deal with Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. He didn't forget them. He didn't forget the ones that were in Jerusalem. He didn't forget anybody. We will forget, but Jesus will not forget. That's a most powerful son that God has, and he wants us to become sons of God too.
Amen.
Any, you want more?
You know, Bunny, I was just thinking about this scripture, verse 4. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. And that hit me a while ago, because we've been dealing with this stage 4 metastasized cancer in Joe's lower belly since August. And I never felt like he was going to die a gruesome death with lots of pain and just wither away until he finally gave up his last breath. And this scripture verifies what I felt all along. This cancer, which the doctors just said, sorry, pal, not really any hope here, was to glorify God. Joe is a walking, living miracle. The last CT scan we had and bone scans, the tumors had decreased in size. The cancer in his bones was not as prevalent. And I've said, and many people that listen on a regular basis have heard me say this, that when one of the kids said I wasn't taking this serious, that I said, I am taking it serious, but I know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. And I believe because of Joe's increased health and the fact the cancer is diminishing, that is truly glory to God.
That's why I like this. I think if we had paid more attention and not have such a heart of unbelief, I think they could have raised them dead themselves. I think Mary and Martha could have raised them, Because he did, he looked at the scripture, he said, this sickness, and he begins to identify it. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. And it's powerful. And people don't believe, but yet it is written here. And he, then when he talks about there's no light in him, verse 11, it says, these things he said, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. Man, that is so powerful. Where he said that he sleep, that's what he called death, was sleep. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go wake him up. I'm going to wake. And, you know, the disciples didn't quite understand what he was saying. But, like I said, Jesus is so compassionate. He's so compassionate. He's so full of understanding and the will of God that he began to express and show him what he was talking about. He says, then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he'd do it well. That's kind of what they understood. He says, howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. They didn't quite understand. It wasn't on the same level. But Jesus didn't just leave him hanging. Jesus didn't leave him hanging. Because you know why? All this was for the glory of God, that they might believe. And want you to know that we are the glory of God. We are the glory of God. Remember, he says, the earth and the fullness thereof is his. Who's in the earth? We are. We are in the earth. People say, well, you're on the earth. No, I want to say we're in the earth, because all these words, they are very important. I'm going to just go to Matthew. Let's go to Matthew 6 real quick. I'm going to show you some of these words that are so important. Sometimes they are left out. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. And he's teaching here. Jesus is teaching. This is after he had been tested. He says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they might be seen of men. Truly I say unto you, they have their reward. That is their reward when man begins to glorify man. That's their reward. That's all they got. He says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut the door to pray to the Father which is in secret, the Father which is seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And they're going to say, oh man, you're blessed. You're blessed. He says, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But when ye therefore, it says, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before ye ask him. And after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Now listen to all these, because all these words, they are important. He says, our Father which art in heaven. There you go. There's one of the words right there. In heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth. What are we made of? What are we made of? We are made of the earth.
Clay.
Well, yeah, your eyes. That's what he used to We are made of the earth. So in earth, that's important. He didn't say on earth. He said in earth. He says, as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forget our debtors, and lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I like that, because I remember when I didn't really play sports, but I was on the football team here in Elk City, and we would pray before we went to the football field. And that's the prayer that we used to recite in school. And I was thinking, that is the most powerful prayer that you could pray. It's powerful. Do we even know what we were asking of the Lord? Do we really understand the things that are happening in that prayer? Man, as it is in heaven and earth, it's happened here. It's not happened around us. It's happening here. He said, you're on a hill. You're like a city upon a hill that cannot be hid. Your heart. Remember, I said, how does it go to? It says, from I look into the hill for whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. To look unto the hills for where my help is. Where my help is, it is in my heart. Jude said, look unto yourself. When you begin to look unto yourself, you're not bragging about yourself, but you look into your heart where your treasure's at. This is right here is your heaven. Right here is within your heart. I just thought I'd throw that in because these words are very important. That's why I say whoever wrote this Bible knew what they were doing. They were smart. They were very smart in how they put this all together. Now he said, verse 14, it says, then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. That was their understanding, that Lazarus was dead. That's all they knew was death. They didn't know life. They did not know life, but life was in Jesus. He says, and Jesus said, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Uh-oh, there's going to be some action going on here. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, you know, that Didymus means twins, unto his fellow disciples, he said, let us also go that we may die with him. Yeah. I looked at that and I said, wow. Wasn't Thomas the one that doubted? He dealt. He had unbelief in his heart. And he was a twin here. It says he was this word means he was a twin or a double. But he said, let us go into him. Let us go that we may die with him. You know, someone that ever died in our life, we always say that part of us has died with them. That's how they felt about Lazarus. He says, then when Jesus came, he said he found that he had laid in the grave for 4 days. Don't you know 4 means holy? Did you know that 4 means a season's going to change? Right now we're in a season that is changing from what? We came from winter. I don't think we had spring, though. Don't seem like we went straight. We're fixing going to a heat wave here. You know, it's changing. So this is going to be a change. Remember what Moses said. He said, I'd rather to suffer with the people of God than to enjoy pleasure of sin for a season, which is only for a little bit. But the thing that he's talking about is holy. It is holy because life is holy. And they told him that he laid in the grave for 4 days already. And we know that someone that passed away and they laid in the grave for 4 days, you know that you're not going to go back and touch them. You're not going to go back and, because, you know, in the natural, things begin to decay if it's not living. He said, now Bethany was nigh, I thought about, Lord, what are you talking about here? He says, now Bethany was nigh into Jerusalem about 15 furlongs off. And I looked at that. I think a furlong is like an eighth of a mile. 15 furlongs, so it's just a little over a mile and a half. So they walked. So it was just a short ways to where they're at. And it says, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. And I thank God for people who do comfort you. I really thank people that come and comfort you. These guys must have had a big heart to come and to comfort them because their brother had passed away. I said, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary stayed still in the house. Thank God for Martha. She got up and went out there to meet Jesus. He said, then said Martha unto Jesus. Now listen to this. It's going to be an accusation towards Jesus. How many ever accused Jesus of something? How many ever accused God of something? Well, if you're God, you can do this. You can stop this. I remember when COVID first came. It's kind of funny, you know. First, when COVID first came, toilet paper was the first thing that was off the shelf. Off the shelf. And I didn't understand it, you know. Off the shelf. I wouldn't even went out to Walmart out here, and there was no toilet paper whatsoever. But first thing that we do, let's see, I've lost my place here, is that we accuse somebody, and we accuse God. If you're really God, you wouldn't be doing this, you wouldn't be doing that. A lot of these things happen because we don't believe. We're so full of unbelief. We're so full of being religious. We forgot that Jesus had died for our sins. We don't believe. And I think this is why this is written in the Word of God here. When number 11 means disorder and chaos, there was disorder and chaos in this portion of Scripture. Because they accused Jesus. Now let's read what she said here. And so then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother would have not died. And that's a strong accusation there. If you would have been here, you're God of everybody. You're Jesus of everything. But if you would have been here, and you look at it, she must have had faith and confidence in the Lord. But yet still had an accusation. He said, my brother had not died. He said, but I know. And there's your little teenage. You ever get onto your teenagers? I know. Have you ever heard that? I know. I know. You're telling something. Oh, I know. Your teenagers know everything. It's kind of like someone that's not quite grown here. He says, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give thee. At least she had that much confidence. She had that much confidence, even though she had an accusation tone to Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Oh, my goodness. That love and that compassion that Jesus has for his people. He loved Lazarus. He said, thy brother shall rise again. Listen to what Martha said here. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day.
Amen. Would now be a good time to stop and take some prayer requests, Bunny?
Oh, yes.
Okay.